You turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. We have a statement about God there and also about our calling by Him. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we could look at a number of scriptures that speak about different aspects of what we have been called to do as children of God, as Christians, in the New Testament, but this is one of those things here in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, that we've been called unto the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this particular word, fellowship, it's a word that we use a lot, and we may have a particular meaning in mind when we use the word. It's good always for us with these Bible words to understand and know what the definition of the word is in the Bible and how it's used there. And that's really a big part of what we're going to be studying about this morning. As far as the definition, this word here that is fellowship, the root of it is in Greek is koinonos. And we know the New Testament is written in what is known as Koine Greek, which means the common Greek language. And this particular word koinonos is a word that means a sharer or a partner, and the word fellowship, that would be like a fellow who is a partner, and fellowship is a the word that comes from that means partnership. That's literally what the word means. So when he says we've been called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we've been called into partnership with Jesus Christ. That word is also translated communion. Very frequently in the New Testament, which is a reference to the meaning of the word as in something having something in common, which is what you do when you're in partnership with someone. So we're in communion with Christ. We are in partnership with Him, in fellowship with Him. That's what we've been called to be as Christians in the New Testament. So let's now go and look at some of the teachings of the scriptures concerning how we are to be in partnership with Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, we see the principle in 1 John chapter 1 of walking in the light, being a condition of being able to be in partnership with Jesus Christ and with the Father and also with one another. And so we could really branch out in our study and look at our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, the Holy Spirit, with one another. It works all on the same particular principle here in 1 John 1:3-7, that principle of walking in the light. And then we want to see how that applies to our being in fellowship or in partnership, having communion with Jesus Christ. But verses 3 through 7 here, 1 John 1 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So he's teaching us to have partnership or fellowship with Jesus Christ, and the basis of that is for us to walk in the light. Well, God is light, in him is no darkness at all, it says. And if we're saying that we are a partner of Jesus Christ, but we're in darkness, he says we're telling a lie. We can't be any part dark and then be joined together with light, which is what God is. Now, this is not something new in principle to the New Testament as far as that particular aspect of God and having God having no fellowship with darkness and requiring that man walk in light to be in fellowship with God. Turning back to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, in Psalms 94 and verse 20, he says there, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? So this throne of iniquity, these ones who would frame mischief by law, he says, will they have fellowship with God? That's the question. It's a rhetorical question. And the implied and obvious answer is no. There is no fellowship with those who framing mischief, those who are working iniquity. They're not going to have fellowship with God. And in the book of Habakkuk, if you haven't been there in a while, it's almost to the back page of the Old Testament, just a couple of pages before Matthew. But it's one of these books that's called the Minor Prophets in terms of these last 12 books of the Old Testament being in volume short works of the prophets. But in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." So that's a statement about God and his nature. He doesn't have any fellowship with iniquity or with darkness at all. In Amos chapter 3, God brought up this point when he was rebuking his people, Israel. Amos is just a few pages before Habakkuk. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, had God been walking with Israel before? Yes, he had chosen them as his people. And that's what he refers to there when he brought them up out of the land of Egypt and told them that they only had he known out of all the families of the earth. And he had separated them to himself to be his people, made a covenant with them, and God walked with them. But he asked that question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, who had changed or who had moved? God hadn't gone anywhere. God was the same, the one that had been walking with them. But who had changed? It was the people of Israel. They had changed and departed from God and were now following iniquity. He says, "I will punish you, therefore, for all your iniquities." They had gone into sin. Well, were they in agreement with God when they were doing what was evil, when they were working iniquity? They were walking in darkness. God is only light. So could he walk together with them anymore? They were not in agreement anymore. For him to continue to walk with Israel when they were in iniquity would be light joined together with darkness. And there is no partnership between light and darkness. There's no partnership or fellowship between God and sin or those who are walking in darkness. And that was a point he was making to Israel there, and a very serious point. We could look at many other examples of that and applications of it in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament, with Christians who were falling away from the Lord. You remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord who walks among the candlesticks warned them that they were in danger of losing their candlestick, that particular church, because they were not doing right in God's sight. In a very important way, and having lost their first love. But we see that same warning, whether it's Israel of the Old Testament or whether it's Christians in the New Testament, if we depart from the Lord and we're walking in darkness, then we cannot be in partnership or fellowship with God, who is only light. We have to walk in the light to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So when he says he's called us under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, a major part of that is calling us to walk in the light and depart from iniquity. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verses 11 through 16. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Well, we certainly need to redeem the time. We're living in an evil time, and every minute we're given, we need to make sure that is spent doing God's will, walking in light, and not in darkness at all. As Christians, he tells us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We can't be going along with those things at all. We can't be a part of those things at all. And the things that people do that are walking in darkness, those things of the world, he says it's a shame even to speak of those things that they do in secret. But God's light is revealing all of these things, and he tells us to wake up and not be asleep, but redeem the time and walk wisely, circumspectly, in order to be pleasing to God and walk in the light and not in darkness. If we had sufficient time, we could go through all of chapter 4 and 5, really, of this book. And on into 6, he gives a lot more applications there. So there's really a lot of detail taught in this part of the book of Ephesians in very specific applications of how to walk in the light and not to be walking in darkness. Whether it's the way we talk and the way we conduct ourselves among other people, on our jobs and our families and the church and all of that, every aspect. We have to be doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, walking in the light and having no fellowship with any unfruitful work of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he's very plain in his statement here, starting in verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, if we believe and this world is full of unbelievers, that would be an unequal yoking. Now, you could go back to some of the Old Testament laws. They weren't allowed to join two different kinds of animals together in a yoke. They couldn't be yoked together to plow. You had to have two like beings, creatures, to be yoked together to plow. Well, he's really using that particular imagery here and tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We as believers in Christ cannot be in partnership with those who don't believe. Now, does that say, is he telling us then to physically remove ourselves from having any contact with people of this world? No. We're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. We need to shine our light among them. We need to be an example to them. We need to teach them. But we need to be influencing them, not being involved with or a partner with them in their evil works. That's the point there. So we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So there we see that principle again. And there is no partnership or fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness, or light and darkness. All these things are opposite. Believing and unbelieving, righteousness and unrighteousness, light and darkness, and there's no joining together of those opposite things. Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Concord. So there he's speaking about Christ. Is Jesus going to have communion? Is he going to have involvement and partnership with Satan and his works of the devil? Of course not. Again, that's opposite. They don't go together. And he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Now, how do we walk in the light? Wherefore, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We can't be involved with touching, being spotted with the world, being in partnership with the world and its evil works. We can't be involved in those things at all. We have to separate ourselves from all of those activities, the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we do. It has to be holy to God. And that's what verse 1 of the next chapter says. It's kind of unfortunate, in my opinion, that there's a chapter break between verse 18 of chapter 6 and verse 1 of chapter 7, because it continues on as he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to have complete holiness, complete separation to God, to walk in his light, to do his will, and not be involved in these unfruitful works of darkness of this world. Being called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, requires that. In Luke chapter 11, when Jesus was teaching about having our eye single, he was making this point in this other way here. In Luke 11, 34 to 36, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So how much darkness can we have in us, and then us be in fellowship with God? How much light does he want us to be? And now he's really bringing the point to where this has to occur in our inner man. For us to walk in the light, we have to have our inner man to be light. And how much darkness can we have in us in order to walk in the light and to be in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Well, he says we need to have in us light and no part darkness. So any darkness, what is our work? Any part that is dark that is within us, any part of our hearts that aren't right before God, anything that we may be involved in as a consequence of our heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it's from what proceeds out of the heart of man that defiles a man before God. So anything that it would defile us before God in terms of what we speak, think, or do, what's in our hearts, we need to get rid of all those things. Purge out all of those things that would be darkness, so that we're only walking in the light, so that we truly can be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, another major point to look at or consider as far as being in fellowship with Christ, and yes, it's going to be really a subset or a function of walking in the light, but we can look at this really as a separate point in its importance, and that is for us to love one another. I mean, that is a major way that God gives for us to measure whether we're walking in the light or not. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, we have that new commandment that Jesus gave. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." In 1 John chapter 2, which is building upon chapter 1 where we left off a while ago, where he was teaching us that we must walk in the light in order to be in fellowship with God and with one another, God's children. The whole family has to be in walking in the light in order to be in partnership one with another. You can't have any part darkness to be in fellowship with any of the light of God and his family. But chapter 2 now builds on that and makes this application to that new commandment that we were just reading in John 13. In verses 4 through 11 of 1 John 2, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, this is another place where he tells us how we can make ourselves to be a liar. The first one was what we saw back in chapter 1, when he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now he says, if we say we know him and keep not his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. So we're not going to be ultimately judged on false claims that we may make. And we may say with our mouths that we are in fellowship with God and that we know God, that we know the Lord. In fact, we hear a lot of people using terms like that and claiming to believe in the Lord and know the Lord and love the Lord and walking with the Lord. Well, we need to say that, but it needs to be true. And how is it proven to be true? Not just by what we say, but by our deeds. If we are walking in the light and we say that we're in fellowship with him, well, then that's consistent. That's the truth. If we say that we know God and we're keeping his commandments, that's the truth. That's consistent. But to say we're in fellowship with God while we're walking in darkness, that's a lie. To say that we know God when we're not keeping his commandments, he says that's a lie too. Verse 5, he says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." So what is one of the major ways that we can measure ourselves to see, well, are we walking in the light? And that's what we need to be doing. If he says, if we say that we're in fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, and only by walking in the light can we truly have fellowship with him and with one another, otherwise we're telling a lie, then we should be very serious in wanting to know, well, am I really walking in the light so that I am in fellowship with him and not deceiving myself and telling a lie when I say I am in fellowship with him? Well, here he gives us a great way to measure that. One of the major ways is by whether or not we love God's children. And if we love one another, he says, then we're in the light. And if we don't, we're in darkness. In chapter 3, starting in verse 7, he says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." So once again, to know God, to be in fellowship with him, to be righteous, all of these things require our action and our obedience to his commandments. Verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So there he shows us this is what's going to ultimately reveal who our spiritual father is. And there's only going to be one or two possibilities there as far as who our spiritual father is. We can't choose for that to be no one. We can't choose for it even to be ourselves. If we're trying that, then it tells us who it really is. The bottom line is our spiritual father is either God or the devil. And he says it's revealed according to whether or not we are doing righteousness or in loving our brother, as to whether or not we are a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, who does he then give as an example of one who was revealed to be a child of the devil because he didn't love his brother? Cain. And that's the one he speaks about in the following verses. He tells us that in verse 15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So this goes along with what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you actually have to commit the deed to have the evil kind of heart that will defile you before God? If you hate your brother, do you actually have to take the action of physically killing him like Cain did Abel? Or does he say, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer? It's akin. It's alike. And so he says we can't do that, or we are guilty of it, and we won't have eternal life abiding in us. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now it's interesting, right after telling us again, not by our words, but by our actions, it will be demonstrated whether or not we do love our brother. It's not by just saying that we do, but it's by demonstrating it in our actions and by serving our brethren. If there's a need that one of our brethren has, that we need to take the action. If we have the opportunity and we have the means to help one another, and then we don't do it, he says, "How dwelleth the love of God in him?" We can't have God's love in us and then not do what he says to do in as far as serving one another to demonstrate our love for each other. And ultimately, our hearts are going to either condemn us before God or not. And he says in verse 19, "Hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." So our heart is either going to assure us before God or condemn us before God. God knows, is greater than our heart. He knows all things. So again, he knows what's in there. And he's going to judge us according to what's in there, not according to what we've claimed. We need to make sure that we love one another in order to be able to walk in the light and please God. In chapter 4, he says in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then at the end of the chapter, verses 19 through 21, he says, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So there's another way we can prove ourselves to be a liar. If we're claiming to love God, but we're not loving our brother. That's the same as claiming to be in fellowship with God when we're walking in darkness, because to not love our brother is to be in darkness. So we have to love one another in order to be walking in the light, in order to have fellowship with God, in order for us truly to love God and to know him. And so this is one of the most fundamental requirements for us to be in fellowship with Christ that we have in God's word. We've got exactly halfway to go through this lesson. So we're going to save it for next Sunday morning, Lord willing, to finish this up. I hope with the consideration of the points that we've looked at this morning so far, and walking in the light and loving one another, that we can see how that applies to what our calling is that we started with in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, where God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. The question is this morning, number one, are you walking in the light? If you are, then you're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, his Son. Do you love your brethren? If you are, if you do, then that is a major part of what walking in the light is all about, and knowing God and loving him and being able to be in fellowship with Christ and with the Father and with one another. Now, all of this begins with our decision to become a child of God by obeying the gospel of Christ. And so we're asking the question this morning, have you been obedient to the gospel of Christ? Because the other questions come for those who are already Christians. But if you haven't repented of your sins and been baptized into Jesus Christ, you're not in Christ yet. And you're still in your sins, and therefore are still separated from God, alienated from him by those wicked works. This is an opportunity for you this morning to repent and obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to have your name written in heaven, to have hope of eternal life by being obedient to his gospel. And we're encouraging you to do that this morning if that is your need. If you are a Christian and if you have not been walking in the light, if there is darkness in you, and if that has been manifested by deeds that you have been doing that aren't right before God that you may need to repent of, if you need the prayers of the church for strength to walk in the light, if you need help in any way in that regard, you have an opportunity at this time to come forward and make that known. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, won't you please come right now while we stand and while we sing?